send lawyers, guns, and money. Dad, get me out of this. Hello, beautiful humans. I'm Tymie Castle.
And I'm Benjamin Mead.
And you're listening to Just a Minute. Just a Minute is an educational podcast where we break down justice topics in 30 minutes or less. Today's topic, defense attorney ethics. Oh, do they have any?
Ba-dum-bum.
Ba-dum-bum. Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining us. Hello, Ben.
Well, hello, dear lovely podcast host and hello. Listeners as well. It's another end of the semester episode.
Yes.
And by that, I mean, what's a topic that I don't have to do too much work to put an episode together right. about since it is the end of the semester. And this is my Monday, Wednesday, Friday semester, and it's kicking my butt.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so ready for it to be over.
Yes.
I need a vacation.
I had my last teaching day today. Don't get mad at me.
Yeah, it's a good thing the listeners can see the death stares that I'm sending yes. to you.
Well, make them do projects where they need time to work on it at the end of the semester and then give them the class periods to do that.
That's true. I think I might, in one class, they're just doing presentations, so no problem. But I think I might finish my other two early and we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens next week.
They will appreciate it, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, to kick off our defense attorney episode, you already made one. What's your best lawyer joke? Did we do this on an episode before?
I think we did, but I don't remember any of them because I'm brain dead.
Yeah. I feel like I had deja vu and I went back and looked at jokes. Scripts and I couldn't find it in scripts.
Maybe you just off the cuff made some lawyer jokes.
Who knows? But anyway, you got another lawyer joke?
I don't. I'm brain dead.
Lawyers have no ethics?
No. You have them all, so why don't you?
Well, I mean, the classic one is, you know how you can tell when a lawyer is lying.
Yes.
Because their mouth is moving.
Right.
And you know what the difference between a lawyer and a dead possum on the side of the road is?
No.
Skid marks in front of the possum.
Oh, jeez.
And then finally, so there was this busload full of lawyers and they were going to like this law convention and a terrorist hijacked the busload of lawyers. Did you hear about that?
No.
He threatened to release one every hour until his demands were met. Yeah, I like that one.
That one's good, yeah.
So anyway, we're going to talk about the ethics of defense attorneys today. And I always tell my ethics class that I love defense attorneys because they provide such fertile ground for ethical discussions.
They do.
And debates.
They do.
So how would you feel as a defense... How would you feel as a defense lawyer? So how would you feel about defending somebody who did something horrible to someone else or... to a child, where I know particularly for your soft spot to an animal?
Well, I hate to say this because it makes me sound horrible, but I'm going to.
Mm-hmm.
I think I could objectively defend someone who had who was accused of doing something to a child, but not an animal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, we all have our sweet spots.
Right. I can't. I just, as you know, I am highly triggered by anything to do with animals and abuse. And so I wouldn't even make it through the material, like reading about the incident and being able to form a defense. I wouldn't make it through that.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have to recuse myself.
Yeah. So you would withdraw or recuse
I would
yourself.
Withdraw or recuse. And if I was working, you know, for the judge pro bono or something like that, I'd just say no. And then if someone insisted, like a supervisor, I'd just say, well, then fire me because I'm a lawyer and I can get another job anywhere. So,
as Johnny Paycheck would say, take this job and shove it.
Exactly.
But I mean, understanding your, triggering of animal abuse, that also kind of raises ethical questions that if lawyers withdraw from controversial cases, who will defend those people?
It's a good question, but I would say that while I was sitting there during the shopping cart killer in Harrisonburg during his trial, I was thinking about all of the ways I could have provided a better defense than his actual defense attorney.
Yeah.
Rather than they just died of drug overdoses and he just tossed their bodies, basically. Yeah. That was his only defense, is that we don't know how they died in that room. There's lots of other stuff you could have come up with, so I think I could have, it wouldn't have mattered, but I could have provided a very good, solid defense.
For a serial killer.
For a serial killer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a good point in, you know, spoiler alert, I'll talk a little bit about this later, but the ABA, the Bar Association, does kind of provide guidance on what to do in those situations where lawyers feel like they, should not or don't want to take a particular case.
Good to know.
But next, we need to talk about the pronunciation. Is it lawyer or lawyer?
It depends on where you're from. I would say my family says lawyer, like it becomes like four syllables or something like that. And lawyer sounds like something you would say if you're from Maryland or D.C.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's one of those like north-south things. I definitely say lawyer. Yeah. Lawyer, not law. But no, but then again, like if you think about it, nobody says loy. It's the there's no, like before the a defense before the loy. So anyway.
It's lawyer.
Lawyer's the correct pronunciation.
Yes.
But in reference to your answer that you would have a difficult time being a defense lawyer, I too would not want to be a defense attorney.
Right.
For lots of reasons. Yes. But one is everyone hates defense lawyers.
Yes, everyone hates you.
I really feel bad for them because everyone literally hates you. Police, society, prosecutors, even their own clients.
Hate them.
Literally hate them. They get it from all directions. So when I taught my class in prison, and half of the class was these guys who were in prison.
Yeah.
I handed out like the syllabus and basically said like, okay, is there any topic that is not, covered on the syllabus that you all want to talk about? And they all were like defense lawyers and court appointed attorneys.
Oh, wow.
Because I guess psychologically it's like you're supposed to be on my side and working for me. And if you don't do that, then I'm going to be mad at you,
right?
More mad at you than the people whose job it is to, catch me and put me away and stuff.
Well, it makes sense to me.
Yeah. So anyway, nobody likes lawyers, as is evidenced by the fact that we just joked about killing and, terrorist hijacking a bunch of lawyers. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awful. That was mean. Because I will say that, when I was doing research as a graduate student on disproportionate minority contact, and I had to meet with a lot of public defenders in a bunch of different counties, and they are like gems. I mean, these are people with like 90 plus caseloads who are just doing it because they believe in it, the principle of it, so they were just great people and very underpaid.
Mm-hmm, exactly. We talked about that in the plea bargain episode, and I tell my class all the time when we talk about defense attorney ethics, like nobody becomes a public defender for the money.
Right.
You don't become a lawyer public defender for the money. You're in it for a cause. It's just the structural.
Yes. But not all defense attorneys are public defenders.
That is very true. That is very true. So everybody hates you.
Okay.
And then there's the internal struggle that we've kind of been talking about like defending clients that you don't really want to.
Right.
Ultimately, when you're defending someone who's done or is accused of doing bad things, defense attorneys might have an ethical conflict between their professional or between their personal morals and their professional ethics.
Yes.
So are morals and ethics the same thing? Like, or is that like a distinction without a difference? So I remember years ago there was this Twix commercial. I know if you remember the Twix commercial. But it took place in a funeral home. And so basically the idea or the setup of the commercial was like there were these two guys and they were talking about like, is there a difference between left Twix and right Twix? Or, like there's a difference between, it was two guys in a suit, like me, an undertaker, and me, a mortician. And then like the cleaning people came in and was like,
I do not remember this.
Or the difference between me, a custodian, and me, a janitor.
I do not remember
that. And these two ladies popped up and like, or me, me, a ghost, and me, a spirit.
No.
So anyway, it's like, is the difference between ethics and morals the difference between a mortician and an undertaker, or are there different, are they different concepts? In general, morals and ethics, we recognize both generally refer to right and wrong.
Right.
But ethics is an approach to questions of right and wrong that's supposed to be based on standards, systems, principles, objectivity, rationality, and so on. And morality as an approach to right and wrong is usually more informed by like culture, upbringing, politics. It's more objective or more emotional. Morals is more emotional, whereas ethics is supposed to be more systematic. most defense attorneys would largely have, personal morals that would say that people who commit crimes should be punished for that.
Right.
But their professional ethical obligations are to advocate or defend those who are accused of crime.
Right.
So first of all, we have the dilemma of having, to defend guilty clients and particularly defending them as if they were innocent. And on the surface, that kind of seems like lying.
Omission of the truth.
Well, I mean, if you know your client is, did it, and then you're saying in court that they're innocent, that's quite a disjuncture there. And, it's a common prejudice that lawyers are liars, as we, mentioned before, that, they're like trying to hide the truth, or they're, pro-criminal, and their job is to lie on behalf of criminals and set dangerous people loose on society and get them off scot-free. So I really want to kind of like talk about this issue in particular.
Okay.
And to start, it's important to establish defense lawyers' duties or obligations. So, we have the general impression that like a lawyer's job is to get an acquittal for their client.
Right.
Which an acquittal basically means a not guilty verdict.
Yes.
But that's not their primary obligation.
Right. So a defense attorney's first duty is to protect the rights of the accused and ensure they get a fair trial.
Right. And sorry, Captain Picard, unlike a Starfleet officer whose first duty of a Starfleet officer is to the truth.
The truth.
A defense attorney's primary obligation is to make sure that the police and the courts respect the rights of the accused, to make sure that they're treated fairly, to make sure that they're given a fair trial. So when we say lawyers defend their clients, it's much more accurate to say they defend their clients' rights.
Yeah, so defense attorneys are defenders of clients' rights, but they're also called advocates and counselors.
Yes, and those are also important obligations. Lawyers as advocates means that they advocate for their clients, or they argue for them, or they represent them, particularly representing their wishes and interest. And legal scholars refer to this as the principle of partisanship. And that means that defense attorneys take sides.
Right.
They aren't objective. In class, we always talk about the fact that prosecutors are public servants and they're law enforcement officers, and they should and they have to be fair and objective.
Yes.
But if you need a lawyer, you absolutely yes. do not want your lawyer to be fair, objective, and impartial. You want your lawyer to zealously and vigorously advocate for you and defend you and take your side and argue your side.
Right.
And so that means that defense lawyers have to be partisan and have to advocate for their clients, even if they have to do things that are against their own personal moral code or in the pursuit of defending their clients. So even if you have to defend people who are guilty of crimes, and honestly, most people that defense attorneys defend are guilty, unlike Perry Mason and Matlock, who only defend innocent people. I remember my grandmother watched Matlock all the time. And, just like the standard script of the show was like every episode Matlock got a client who was accused of committing murder and they were innocent, and he had to prove that they were innocent and figure out who the real murderer was.
Right.
But like I remember a shocking episode, like it was shocking, shocking that it turned out that Matlock's client was guilty.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I mean that was like the oh wow.
Oh.
So right. there's some like the good defense attorneys on TV and in pop culture are positioned as like only defending innocent people.
Right.
But, and certainly innocent people are accused of crime, and lawyers definitely defend innocent people, and wrongful convictions happen, and that's terrible when it happens, but most attorneys most frequently deal with people who done it.
Yeah.
And so to be partisan, the defense attorney, presents as persuasively as they can the facts and law from the most favorable standpoint of the client.
Which,
sounds like a really good legalese way to, to put that, yeah.
So normally we would evaluate this as dishonest.
Right.
You know the truth, but you're telling a different story to the court or public. So how is this legal, or how is it ethical?
Yeah. There are certainly some fine lines here. And definitely defense attorneys can't actively lie or encourage lying in court, like, calling a witness to give false testimony. That's actually a crime.
Yeah.
And that's actually called perjury.
Yes.
But there's kind of a difference between a lawyer being active in telling a lie and a witness who isn't telling the truth, the whole truth,
right,
and nothing but the truth. Lawyers should definitely encourage their clients not to lie or not to commit perjury, but as advocates, they should ultimately represent the story and interest that their clients want to put forth in court. And there are a couple of ways that lawyers can ethically or morally deal with this. So first of all, defense attorneys don't definitely know with certainty that their client is guilty, right, or not. And oftentimes they may take steps to avoid having such knowledge.
Yeah.
So instead of asking clients, okay, did you do it? Or tell me what happened. You just say like, okay, what's our defense going to be? So I don't want to know what really happened. Just tell me what story we're going to present in court. That way you don't kind of have the conflict in presenting a case that you know isn't the truth. You don't know either way. But then on the other hand, if a lawyer is uncomfortable with presenting a story or the narrative their client want, they can withdraw.
All right.
But they can't disclose the reason to anybody why they withdrew.
Yeah.
Because of confidentiality.
Yes.
So lawyers legally and ethically have to respect confidentiality with their clients, which means they can't disclose or tell to anyone confidential communication that they have with their clients, even if that communication is about past crimes or about evidence in the case. Because, of course, we want lawyers to trust their clients.
Right.
Like if you, you yes. know, to get good legal counsel, you don't yeah. want to be afraid your lawyer's going to, like, snitch on you
yes.
or turn you in.
Because we know
or,
snitches get yeah, stitches,
that's
even
right.
lawyers.
That's right, even lawyers. But remember Making a Murder? This
yes.
Now this seems like years ago.
It was 2015. It was a
yeah.
decade.
Wow, 10 okay. years old. That yeah. But anyway, remember Brendan Dassey, the kid who the police interrogated and got a false confession from?
Yes.
Well, then his public defender did the same thing to him. His lawyer, who's supposed to be on his side, got his own client to sign a confession and then
right.
dropped him off at the police station.
Yes.
And that is not
no.
the kind of lawyers that we want, especially
no.
for innocent kids with intellectual disabilities.
Right.
Because
you know, if it's not yeah. clear, that kid was innocent and had nothing mm-hmm. to do with this crime.
Yeah, exactly. And his own, I mean, it's just, yeah. I need to repeat that because, you know, like his
People
own
don't know.
Lawyer
yes.
got him to confess and dropped him off at the police station. Didn't even
yes.
go into the police. It's just like, here, police, here's the confession and here's the kid.
Yeah.
And yeah, no, you don't want a lawyer like that.
But there is an exception to this. Lawyers can and should tell if their client intends to commit a crime or to hurt someone in the future or hurt themselves. But other than that, they can't disclose confidential information, which, by the way, is mm-hmm. just like, you know, being a counselor.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing therapy,
yeah.
you can, you know, if somebody's in immediate danger from the person that you're talking to or they are threatening suicide, then you have to mm-hmm. notify somebody. But other than that, you don't report anything.
Yeah. If so, right. If it's a future crime, defense attorneys, counselors have an obligation to stop somebody else from getting hurt.
Right.
But if a client confesses to a horrible crime that's in the past, lawyers can't talk about that. Even if they're so repulsed by their client and their client's animal abuse that they have to withdraw from the case, you even if you're no longer the client's lawyer, you still can't tell anybody what they told you about.
Nobody better disclose to me about animal abuse because
well,
I might get myself
yeah.
in a situation where I need a lawyer.
Well, you're not a lawyer, so you're not bound by confidentiality.
True.
So as long as you don't go to law school
yes.
and become a defense attorney, you're good.
I'm good.
No worries there. Yeah.
Got it.
But, you know, speaking of recusing yourself or withdrawing from a case, there are ethical implications to that I hinted at earlier. So in addition to the principle of partisanship, defense attorneys should also abide by the principle of neutrality. And that doesn't mean that they have to be objective like we were talking about earlier and not take their client's side, but it's kind of exactly the opposite that in terms of defending their clients zealously, they have to remain
right.
neutral in relation to like specific behavior or specific clients that they might morally disagree with or find repulsive. Defense attorneys still have to vigorously defend bad criminal actions of guilty people.
But why?
Well, you know, first of all, it's their job.
Yes.
That's kind of what you signed up for.
Yes.
It's like a doctor doesn't get to decide who to withhold medical care from
right.
or treatment from because
right.
they think that their patient did something bad or disagrees with their patient.
Right. You take the Hippocratic Oath, mm-hmm. and that means do no harm, but also you help everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And likewise, a lawyer, a defense lawyer, shouldn't withhold counsel and advocacy
right.
from guilty people. And certainly in, you know, in general, private attorneys have the luxury of deciding who to defend and which cases to accept. You know, they can like decline to accept particular right. cases or clients. And as we kind of hinted at before, for appointed counsel or public defenders, though, the ethical implications of not accepting a case on grounds that you don't like the crime or the client is a bit more murky, because it's not like, you know, their clients can afford to just go find another scumbag lawyer and pay whoever they can get to do their right. dirty work. They don't have money to pay for a lawyer. And in general, the American Bar Association, or the ABA, and that's the professional organization governing lawyers, but the ABA rule does give attorneys some leeway and flexibility in accepting cases, but it strongly states that legal representation should not be denied to those who can't afford representation, or whose case is controversial, or whose case is publicly unpopular. But overall, the ABA says that attorneys can turn down specific cases or specific clients as long as they accept their fair share of unpopular and indigent cases.
Right.
So maybe you don't take animal abuse cases, but like you said, you do your fair share and pitch in and help the serial killers out.
Exactly. Exactly. I'll help the serial killer. Yeah. Somebody else take the animal abusers.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, you pull your fair share. If there's one thing you can't do, pull your, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Well, okay. You got anything else?
I actually saved the most important thing, at least in my mind, for last.
Okay.
So far we've kind of been talking about, you know, advocacy and confidentiality and representing clients' wishes, but still kind of positioning this as like defense attorneys doing something shady or somewhat dishonest by defending their clients. And I think it's important not to think that way about
right.
defense attorneys.
That
that we shouldn't be tempted to think that defense attorneys are inherently doing something bad or dishonest by doing their job. Like we mentioned before, ultimately a defense attorney's purpose is to make sure that clients get a fair trial. And one centrally very important way to do that is to make sure that prosecutors meet their burden of proof.
Right.
So we can make a distinction between factual guilt and legal guilt.
Right.
And factual guilt is, you know, really kind of what we've been talking about so far. Like, did they do it? Are they guilty or innocent? But legal guilt is a different thing, and it has a different meaning than did they do it or not. Legal guilt means that the evidentiary standard has been satisfied in court sufficiently to convince a jury that the accused is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt.
Yeah.
And of course, it's prosecutor's job to prove that case. The burden
yes.
of proof in criminal cases on prosecutor. Our system operates on, you know, presumption of innocent, which means that you're legally innocent until a prosecutor proves you're guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. And ultimately, if a prosecutor's case and evidence can't stand up to a defense attorney challenging that evidence
yes.
and cross-examining their witnesses by proposing that the accused is innocent and didn't do it, even if they did do it, then the prosecutor doesn't meet their burden of proof.
Right.
If a prosecutor's case can't withstand the scrutiny of a defense attorney saying, you know, not so, prosecutor, not so, then they don't have the necessary evidence to convince a jury that someone is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt.
Yeah. So, I mean, as somebody mm-hmm. who was a jury member for here in Harrisonburg for a case,
mm-hmm.
I'm not exact. I mean, the thing is, if the prosecutors or the Commonwealth doesn't meet their evidentiary standard, you're not sure if the person did it.
Yeah.
Right. That's what right. kind of lets the jury know that mm-hmm. they did do it. Mm-hmm. And so if it's not there, it's, you know, it's your duty as a citizen.
Yeah, exactly. To me, that's the crux of the matter. It's not about yeah. like lying or obfuscating or muddying the waters or trying to set guilty people free on society. It's about making sure the system's fair and making sure prosecutors are doing their job and fulfilling their legal and evidentiary responsibilities. Because we've talked before in our plea bargaining episode about how much power prosecutors have.
Right. And if you didn't have the evidence, thank mm-hmm. you for wasting our time and wasting the state's resources and bringing mm-hmm. it to a trial.
Yeah, exactly.
Anywho, mm-hmm. now are you done?
Why, yes, I think I am. I had actually planned to talk about some other things, like what should a defense attorney do with incriminating evidence?
Oh, and yeah.
Should a defense attorney encourage their client to plead guilty? But I had too much to say about the original question. So maybe a part two is in order.
Nice.
But it's not going to be next episode. I barely
no.
had time to prep for part one.
Gotcha.
So maybe look for a defense attorney ethics part two at some point in the future. Do you have anything else to say?
I do not.
All right, then that means it's our minute to spin it, where we both give our takeaway from the show today. So Tommy, in just a minute, What's your spin?
So my spin today is a song by Warren Zevon. I'm not going to sing it. I'm not you. So he wrote one of my favorite songs, which is Werewolf in London, which doesn't have anything to do with this. I love that song. I loved it when I was a kid, too. This one, I'm just going to cite like a couple of the lyrics, but it's called Lawyers, Guns, and Money. And it's from the same album, actually. Does anybody say album anymore?
Yeah.
They do. Yeah. Okay. So here we go. I went home with a waitress the way I always do. How was I to know she was with the Russians too? I was gambling in Havana. I took a little risk. Send lawyers, guns, and money. Dad, get me out of this. I love that song so much. Not as much as Werewolf in London. Mm-hmm. Love that song. It's just brilliant.
Nice, nice.
So what's your spin?
Well, you know, in contrast, on a very serious note and tone, and in the words of one prominent, distinguished defense attorney, did you know that you have rights? The Constitution says you do, and so do I. I believe that until proven guilty, every man, woman, and child in this country is innocent, and that's why I fight for you, Albuquerque. So if you had a good job until your boss caught you stealing,
oopsies,
or if you were just partying, minding your own business and found yourself under arrest, you better call Saul. Saul Goodman, that is. But anyway, I think it's important that we get away from thinking about defense attorneys as inherently dishonest and tricky and trying to set criminals free, but rather we should recognize that their central function in challenging prosecutors to meet their burden of proof and ensuring that everyone gets a fair trial, because, as Saul says, the Constitution says so.
We are a community-driven podcast sponsored by the Gandhi Center and produced by JMU Libraries. Check out our website, LinkedIn show notes to see how you can support our educational programming.